one of the most famous kinneth or topics of the kinneth, let me say, not only on Tisha B'Av, but we also say, talk about it on Yom Kippur, about the Esarah HaRivi Malchus. Different versions of the story of Esarah HaRivi Malchus. And the story is well known. We say it on our two fast days, the brutal deaths of some of our greatest Gedolim. But Tisha B'Av is a crucial kinneth. Many relate to the story easier. It helps us come up to stick, it helps us to understand what this day has become as a day of reflecting all different aspects of history throughout history. The truth is, the story of this kinneth is unclear, as is the Seder of kinneth that we have in front of us, how it came about. On one hand, there are over 25 different Pliutim written from the early Rishonim and onwards about the Esarah HaRivi Malchus. We don't even know anything much about the person who wrote this particular Pliut that we say, that we do say. But many point out that there's actually a technical problem with the Pliut, which is that the Pliut makes it sound like this all happened at once, that we lost all these 10 people at once. However, historically, many people point out that it's impossible. All of the Gedolim mentioned the matter at the same time. So much so that some went so far as to say that we should remove this Pliut from the, we shouldn't say it. There's even a brief note from the great Chavos Yaros suggesting such a thing. In 1587, one of the first printed historical works was the work called Shalshalas HaKabbalah, of a tremendous Talmud Chacham, who he, in his works, on its historical work, he has a short essay about the Aseres HaRivi Malchus, and he deals with various issues that come up, not only about the kinneth, but about the story. Most notably is that a concept that's very famous that we many of us heard over the years, is that has to do with why this terrible death happened to these people. It has to do with a tikkun for the chet of the brothers with Mechiras Yosef. So he has many questions on this, a series of questions, and through these questions he has all different he gets into different topics, the gulim and all other aspects. It was very hard to understand why it took so, for example, why it took so long to be punished. But he also, when he talks about it, so one of the things he says, he was always very bothered, and this just shows you already, this is in 1587, how widespread was to say this piyut. He says he checked in all the machzorim and all the languages, and everyone said. And the point was that the Aseres HaRivi Malchus does have something to do with the effect of the Mechiras Yosef, some type of tikkun. So he tries very hard in this essay of his with various aspects to explain it. And at one point, he even says, it's interesting, is because even this, whatever this tikkun was, these chachamim didn't all die at once. And then later on, he also deals with that that all the chachamim were not at the exact same time. Now, be that as it may, there is some clear from him and other what he comes out with and early Rishonim already, it has to do with the chet of Mechiras Yosef. But we see that people, even him, he was struggling to understand what's going on in this piyut of Aseres HaRivi Malchus and what's so forth. The truth be told is that in recent years, we received a remarkable work from one of the Rebbe of the Rekeach. It's called the Ichusei Tanan Maran, or Arche Tanan Maran. And in here, he also struggles going through the series about chronologically Aseres HaRivi Malchus, when this exactly happens. But when Mike said Klal Yisrael has accepted it, it's in all the Piyutim in many different ways, as already he says. Not only that, there's also a Medrash with many different versions of Aseres HaRivi Malchus, which recently came out, a very fancy, nice edition with an incredible beer. And it's an important part of our day, both on Tisha B'Av and on Yom Kippur. There's differences. Rav Soloveitchik in his parish on his kinnas and his shiurim, he elaborated on differences. In Yom Kippur, it's different points. But anyway, it seems to be very important. I mean, one of the great daily literature died in the early 1900s was Ignatius Zacharias Stanley. He was legendary for for many different things, but one of them was he had an incredible the keys in all areas of Torah, knew everything that was printed in his day. There's a famous story that he didn't say that like one time he a biker came to the shul, someone saw him svarim, and he after davening and Zacharias Stern looks at the sefer and then he pays the guy and says, "You can keep the sefer. I already went through the whole sefer. I know whatever I need from it." And one could see from any of his tshuvos that he had some type of photographic memory. It wouldn't even it's more than that. But anyway, he knew all types of things. One of the things he also knew very well was piyut, something that not everyone knew. And he has a legendary tshuva where he has a rikos mifra about piyut. So he also deals with in this tshuva the historical aspects of the Aser Malchus and all different types of things like that. And he talks about the Machir Yosef, and he brings a Sipurna, which is always legendary, that Sipurna could say something in a line, and then it's always very hard to understand. Today, in recent years, we actually were zeichet to have we recently located the Shiurim of the Sipurna, which sheds a lot of light on the cryptic sentences of the Sipurna. But he says some type of sentence that not only were the brothers so racist and his effect, it happened again, it happened other times, also in this period of time. Turns out, and Zacharias Stern goes with that and he shows other different things that really didn't sadly sold their brothers. There was a lot of sinaschinim going on, there was a lot of different factions, each selling out each other, and this is a lot that was happening over here, also in the historical aspects of the story. Which basically changes it. He says it's not because one of the questions that would be asked is why all of a sudden punk now after so many years is the chet from Machir Yosef happening. The answer was because they were doing it again at this time. But he also suggests that even though there's a lot of poetic license in general, and which gets into also a different topic of Medrash and Haggadah, but he also should suggest maybe not to say this piyut. Okay, but anyway, the Maaser of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, he says when he was asked about it, it was brought to his attention this different thing. So he said, "Lamaisa, it's established very same up in Midrash Chazal. We don't question it, and we do say it." And others, Yisrael Salanter had a nephew of Lipkin, also a tremendous Talmud Chacham. And he also tries to defend the Haredim, and he says that that really it's not about historically all happening at once. It's some of them happen at the same time, but they all happen. The truth is, what we do know is it happened in a period of time. It doesn't mean that it happened all in one story as it might be. It's in general a concept in Piyutim, something similar to Midrashim also. It's like a poetic license of sorts. So, but the point was that the Romans realized at a certain time that the tactics that they were that to get the Yidden to destroy the Yidden was not working, and because they left the Gedolim, they say they did a lot of different things. They got rid of the Samikdash and other things, but they let them have the Jews still have the Gedolim. So they eventually that's when they started. They realized that the Gedolim is the key, something that, and that, and so they, that's when they started going after them. That's what really began to happen. Through the different Zeros that they had, and it's clear that this is something that happened many times, and that's why this is a very important. You know, it's not only during the in the times of, in way back with the Romans, but let's say Tachbetach, the Holocaust especially, they did similar types of things all the time to the Great Rebellion. Now this day, basically, the point of the day has come to focus on the terrible things that happened to us. It's not about the details exactly when. If the story happened all at once, that's not what it is. It's similar to, as I said, Mr. Lipkin, it's the point was it happened. It happened. It happened in this period of time. They did this. They went after our rebellion, and this sadly is something that we is a problem more. It could be it was a problem always, but in our generation, it's for sure a problem that we are given gifts. Hashem's brought gives us special gifts. What are those special gifts? Gedolim, and we do not necessarily take advantage of them, and that. And this is something that we're supposed to remember the Seder from the terrible deaths. That's why they were sort of like the carbon in the Machaper, which Salvation deals with in Yom Kippur. That's what the point of it in the Tzedakah Yom Kippur is, but in a certain on Tisha B'Av, the point is more to remember that we have these gedolim. We have to have tremendous respect for them. We have to seek out to go to learn from them, listen to the shiurim, or as a rabbi would say, we have to stalk them. And the point is that this is an akuda that is what is an important part of our every year of Tisha B'Av. For a lot of people, when you read these Malkus, this triggers because these gedolim, a lot of times gedolim, they lead the way, and they led the way even in this, in the terrible deaths that they had, which was not so, which was horrific. But as I said, it happened to gedolim again and again, even in the Holocaust and other times.
Not sure.